or starting at the bottom of Nunam Bet, or the two dots. So he says, Zomer Rav Nachman, right, when we talked about in our Mishnah, Matai Mutar Lachzir, until what point are you permitted to return the item? So Rav Nachman says about this, Lo Shano El Lokeach. That's a limitation that is imposed upon the Lokeach, on the buyer. Aval Mocher Lo Olam Chuzer. When it comes to the seller, he has forever to return it. Now, as Rashi points out, and we'll see later in the Gemara, the reason that Lokeach has the ability of limited time to return it is because he's holding the object in his hand. That means that he can show it to people and get the information or assess his overpayment or underpayment for it immediately. Mocher, on the other hand, doesn't have the object in his hand. If he doesn't have the object in his hand, he's got to wait until he has a similar transaction and with a similar item until he can figure out whether he overpaid or not. And not all assumes that the market prices haven't changed in between. If the market prices change, then even then he may not be able to assess the underpayment that he received. So therefore we give the mocher unlimited time because he's not the one holding the object. So Gemara says, Nema Misayli. Let's say that our Mishnah helps that position of Rav Nachman because it says, Chazru l'divrei chachamim. Again, by the Tagrei Lud, it says they went back to what the chachamim wanted. Yemar bishloma mocher le'olam chuzer. If you say that the mocher is not impacted by these limitations, then mishum hachi chazru. That's why they wanted to go back to the old way. Because Eli Yemar to mocher nami kilokeach. On the other hand, if you believe that the mocher and lokeach share the same time frame, they're my nafkulu mino. Why do they care? I mean that any benefit that's given to the lokeach then will also be given to the mocher. I mean that if they thought that the time frame was limited, and then Rabbi Tarfon comes along and says, instead of being ad, right, to your edit, the krovo, or the tagar, and then he says kol hayom. But that means for them also it's kol hayom. So just what the same benefit he gave to the lokeach, he also gave to the mocher. So it must be that this whole discussion about the benefit is only on the lokeach side, and that's why they wanted to go back. It's the way they help the lokeach, right? They'll do the same thing for the seller. It says no. Mar says Tagrei Lud were unusual. Tagrei Lud lo shchich shliach the toe. Tagrei Lud were not worried about making mistakes. I mean, the Tagrei Lud were experts in pricing, which is part of the premise of a lot of the Gemara. Before even on yesterday's daf, when the Gemara is assuming, you know, making mistakes, not making mistakes, how much are they going to overcharge? So Tagrei Lud were experts in pricing, and therefore they didn't make mistakes. So to them, the benefit of extending the period of time for themselves versus the lokeach was lopsided, because they knew exactly what was going on. So for them, they didn't need any extension of time to figure out whether things were priced right or not priced right. On the other hand, the lokeach did need that time. So it was all one side benefit. Even if you say the benefit accrued both to the lokeach and to the mocher, nevertheless, it would be lopsided towards the lokeach because these mocherim really didn't need that benefit. So the host of Rami Bar Chama, it is a bed and breakfast host. Zavin Chama, he sold wine and made a mistake. He sold wine and he had priced it wrong and he undercharged for it. Now, so Rami Bar Chama came by and saw that his host was upset. What are you so upset about? So Malay Zvini Chama Vitoi. I sold wine and I made a mistake about pricing in it. Amalei zil hadarbach. He says, go reverse the transaction. If you made such a big mistake, you'll have to reverse the transaction. I waited already too long. My timeline expired because I waited longer than the amount of time that I could show it to a tagar or to my kovim. And just note again, but in the Tosfos points out on the Shabbos staff that on Memtet Amud Bet, on the top there, the Tosfos points out that when we talk about Erev the Tagar Kovei, Tosfos is not comfortable with that being a subjective number. Tosfos says that that is an objective amount of time. We look at what takes most people to get to that point in time, and then we set an objective time. He wasn't comfortable saying that there was some sort of subjective, or every person, until they find out, will never be able to know, really, what that amount of time is then. The Shadrach the Kamei of Nachman, so he sent the case to Rav Nachman, they went to the right posek, because Rav Nachman says that this limitation is limited to the lokeach, not to the mocher. The mocher is not bound by that limitation of achire le tagar or the kovo. Where it says my taima. This is what we just explained in Rashi. Lokeach mechol biado. The lokeach has the merchandise in his hands. Kohecha to azil mechavile. Person buys something new, he shows it to people all right away. He shows it. He's going to get information right away. People will give him feedback immediately whether he overpaid for the item. Because he has the item and he can show it to the people. Mocher, on the other hand, the mocher does not have the merchandise in his hand. Till he has a transaction similar to the current transaction, until he comes up with the exact same transaction in the same object, same context, then he will figure out if he made a mistake. And again, that is all assumes there's no market price fluctuations in between, which would also affect in the pricing. So where it says, therefore, he was protected. So he could go back and reverse his transaction, this mocher. So, oh God, bro, this individual had, Rashi calls them kshure meshi, so korim bindles. I mean, I don't know if these are some sort of silk, tied up silk or tied up fine linen, whatever he's selling these materials. Kari shita, he called out six, meaning that he wanted to sell it for six. He's in the shuk, he's saying, you know, six shekel for the silk. Bishav chamsho, and he knows it's worth five. You know, he's calling out, he wants to make, you know, he wants to get the best price. He's calling out six, even though he knows it's worth five. Yabu yulei chamsho paga avashokil. He got five and a half, he would take it. I mean, that he knows it's worth five, he's calling out six, and he wants to, you know, he basically wants to end up at the five and a half, which is in the middle. Right. Now, Ato Gabro, so the smart buyer shows up and says, Bamar, if I give him five and a half, I can't go back and get my money back because I've only paid, overpaid by a tenth over at that point in time. Right, over then I'll give him six. And then I'll be overpaying. It's like Shmuel, Lashita Shmuel, right? I'll be overpaying by a sixth. And then I can take him to the court. Because now I paid him to a 20% higher. So even according to, I'm sorry, even according to Rabbi, because he's pouring 20% above the merchandise. Or it's according to Shmuel, because it's a sixth, right, of the ma'ot. But either way, he can say, I'll take it to din. I'm better off paying him more than paying him the five and a half. Because I pay him six, I'll end up paying five and get my shekel back. If I pay him five and a half, I lose the whole half, five and a half. Right, so, atel kamei de rabba. Amalei, lo shana elu belokeach ben tagar. This is only true when you buy from a merchandiser, a retailer. If you buy from an expert, right, then you have the right to go claim your own obat. Ava belokeach ben palabait in lo of ona. So this is the first exception that we've seen to the din of ona, which is that a balabait is not subject to an ona. Why not? Why isn't a balabait subject to ona? So the way Rashi phrases it, you know, I would say, you know, a person would say, "Bekab shalom, you tell me, right? Tisha kabim shalachar." And that expression we've seen before in the Gemara. A person values his own merchandise at a much higher price. He has some sort of sentimental value, right, embedded in the object, or some connection to the object, and therefore he's willing only to sell it at a higher price than is considered to be market price. That's how I would phrase it this way. Rashi says something even more extreme. And Rashi says, "V'havalei kimifarish." It's as if he explicitly says, "Yodani sheish ba'ona." That's what Rashi says, that it's if he's explicitly, when you come to a balabait to buy, it's as if he's saying, "I'm overcharging you right now." And that is implicit in every sale from a balabait. This is it. So, va'au gavra. Tava no could keep it as vune. It's another individual who had rings to sell. And I don't know if these nizamim, right, are used in different cases. Rashi says keep it here as nizamim, have nose rings or earrings, whatever the explanation is here. We had this earlier with Rav Nachman also, a case by Kipe, and Rashi translates the same way. Yeah, exactly. Where he says that Kol Shol Mariani Yodea, Kilo Mar Pusheani, right? So Kare Shitin, he calls out 60 for it. Vishabi Kamshin, in other words 50. So another smart buyer comes on. So he says, "V'yavi yavilei chamshin v'chamsho." Pay him 55. The deal would have been sealed. Rishakiel, Abishakiel would take it. Atu av gabra amar yavilei chamshin v'chamsho avim mechila. Again, if I give him 55, mechila. Etein leshitin, I'll give him 60. But vale the dina, and then I'll take it to din. I'll get my own back. It's worthwhile for me to pay them more money and then get my change back, basically. Right? So atu lekamei rav chista. So that's it. Right. Right, exactly. He thought he really knew the halacha. Right. Sometimes when you know a little it's dangerous. Right, exactly. Here it's dangerous. He knows a little bit. So he thinks he's getting it back. So he ends up overpaying, really overpaying, and not getting his money back. So he's Amalei Rav Dimi. So Rav Dimi says, Yashir. Now, in the places in the Gemara, numerous places, the Masorah Tashas points this out. In some places, not in all places, but in this place here, the real word is Yashir. As well as the correction on the side here is Yashir. Right, so it's not Yashir, right, it depends, right, it depends where you come from. Yeah, it's a flip slider, it's Yashir Koyach. So then you think that it's right in the Gemara. But then the real way to spell it is Yashir Kokacha.
Right,
Yishar. Alright, so I think the correction here is Yashir Kokacha, which would be the, right, the way, the proper pronunciation, say the proper grammatical pronunciation, we say Bechen Amar Belezer, right, you can say Yishar or Yashir. That they agreed with this psak of Rav Chista, right, and Rava, that this does not have application. The Onah does not have application to a Bala Bait who's a seller. Banan's nan, don't we have a Mishnah? Shem Shonah Lejot, Kam Onah Lotagar. Just like there's Onah for a layperson, there is Onah for a merchandiser, a retailer. So now, who's the Hejot? Mahen Jot. Who is the Hejot that we're finding in the Mishnah? Bala Bait. Right? If you're not a tagar, then what are you? A balabait. And the Mishnah is saying a hedjot is subject to onah. Says Amar says no. Amar Vista bit tzedraita. Tzedraita, Rashi calls them big sellers of big day canvas om dim limacher. So these are people, balabatim, who make materials or objects specifically for sale. So now we're having another subdivision of balabait. That's true. Tagar is a merchandiser, he's a retailer, he's selling. Balabatim also have different qualification or different items that they sell. When they sell something that is intended for sale, they are subject to the same rules as a retailer. So balabait doesn't just mean if you're a balabait, then you can charge whatever you want for whatever you want. No. It is that when you are selling your personal items, then we have an expectation that there will be onah. If he has to sell something that is one of his personal items, then he can expect onah. If he is selling items that he normally makes for sale, then he is part of the world of tagar, he's part of the world of retailing, because he doesn't have that personal connection necessarily anymore because of the fact that it was always made for sale. That was his intent all the way along. Aval, mane tashmishtei, right, that his personal belongings, the akiri alei, that are valuable to him or sentimental to him, he wouldn't sell him. He's not willing to part with his personal property unless you pay him a lot more money. Right? That's always the case, right, when people are selling items, especially used items, right? They always overestimate the value of these items because of the personal utility and connection that they have with these items in their house. And therefore they will always charge or try to charge more in order to sell these items. All right, Mishnah.
How do you get this to a situation like this? If a person has an item and the Balabai is initiating the sale, so it means he wants to sell. So, you know, so why should his personal feeling? If it's something that the buyer sees in his house and says, oh, I like that, I want to buy it, and that, you know, Los Ahmad, well, you know, what's
Right. I generally would say, just from the description the Gemara gives over here, that people did not generally sell their personal belongings in the time of the Gemara, as opposed to today, where everything, especially in Israel, where everything is for sale, right? So that's not, right? You know, if somebody will stop you on the road and say, do you want to sell your car, right? So I don't think, that was, in their day, money was not viewed as a stored value. People did not want money because they didn't have a bank. It wasn't that they could put the money away. They wanted objects, lands, and objects, because that was a way to store value, a way to have utility out of that money. So now, if the person's selling their personal belongings, either at a dochak, right, that they're in a position, or if they, you know, it's not something where you would say, oh, you know, this guy's just, I decided he wants to get rid of this thing here. Mishnah. Echad lokeach v'echad mocher, yesh lein onah. Yonah applies both to lokeach and to the mocher. Shem shonah lejot, kach onah letagar, which we just discussed in the Gemara, that onah applies to everybody. Obviously excluding that unique case of balabait. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, in onah letagar. Mishnah is ambiguous about this. Rabbi Yehuda says there's no no for a tagar. What that means, the Gemara will discuss. What that means, Rabbi Yehuda believes, is ain't no no the tagar. Me, shutal alav, yadu alayuna. Whoever has the has been imposed on them the overcharging or the undercharging, whoever lost in this case, yadu alayuna. Now, depending, like Rashi, this is not the halacha. This is passing like Rabbi Natan. According to the Rabbeinu Tam, this is the halacha by shtut. That this is the case by shtut. He can say, give me my money back. Oh, or he can say, I want the sale to stand, just give me back the excess amount. So that's the Rabbeinu Tam believes that's the case of shtut, that's the psak of Rabba. Rashi believes that that is not the case of Rabba, and Rabba believes you can't. You have only one choice there, is to get your own null back, not to reverse the transaction. How do you know that a mocher and a lokeach are both subject to ona, the Tan Rabbanim? V'chitim karu mem kar la'mitecha al tonu. So there it says timkar, right? So that's timkar is the seller, right? Al tonu. Ein li alash nit ana lokeach. The seller is being, right, overcharging the buyer. Right? Nit ane mocher. How do I know if the mocher was cheated in the sense that he was paid too little? Right? Minayin tamalomar okana, right? Okana mi ala mitecha, right? That it's mocher and kana. Mocher is the seller, kana is the buyer. So al tonu, you're both are subject to the, right, the imposition of the itzur of altono. V'itzrich l'michtav lokeach, v'itzrich l'michtav mocher. I need both the buyer and the seller to be explicitly stated in the chumash. V'iklav rachman mocher. Had the Torah just said that mocher is subject to ona mishum dekim leibis vintei. Right, because mochrim are experts. They know what they have in their hands. Right, they know what the flaws are, what the zayim is, and therefore they can't overcharge because we know that they know what the true price of this is. But a buyer who has no clue, I mean, he's looking at an item from the outside, maybe we should say that there is no ona from him. Maybe he's not subject to ona here of underpaying because he just doesn't know enough information to make such a decision. Right? So then, this is what you were saying, David, right? That over here, by lokeach, because he is the buyer. Right, if you bought something, bah, kanita, you're in good shape. Right, having possessions is good. Right, that a person who's selling is a loser, being a loser in the sense that he's losing the, right, the merchandise, which is a net viewed negatively. That a person who sells loses. Maybe because of that view of the world that a seller is losing out. Maybe there is no din of ona here because he should be able to charge whatever he wants because he's actually taking an additional loss, this either psychological or in their day might have been more than a psychological loss, and having to sell his possessions or selling the item and take cash back, right, instead of holding on to a tangible item. Tzricha. Therefore, we need both of them. Why? Just because he's a merchandiser, retailer, he shouldn't have any ona. He should be subject to ona. We're talking about a middleman here or a market maker. Why? He always knows the price. A person who is a market maker, a person who is always buying and selling, is keenly aware of what the market price is. That's his job. His job is to know exactly what the market price is, and he sells for a small margin. Right, in moving back and forth between what the buyers and sellers are willing to pay in this market. So he says, Mida Yadis Vinte, Kamashabya, Khule Akal Gabe. So therefore, if he gets undercharged, meaning if he gets too little money, takes a discount on his money, Bahai is Dizabna Hochi, Bishum Ditramilis Vintachwite, he needs to get liquid. So this is David, what you were suggesting yesterday. Ah, somebody's closing the store down, they gotta sell their little merch, they gotta get liquid. A person wants to do something else, so they want to sell this item. So he's willingly discounting the item in order to become liquid again so he can buy something else. In that instance, a safsar, who's an expert in pricing, market pricing, the fact that he prices below the market is indicative that he has ulterior motives. His ulterior motives is that he wants to be the money, and he's willing to take a discount to get that money. And then later on, after he sold it, all of a sudden he had backpedals on it. At that time, he thought he had something else to buy, so he discounted it to get the cash. All of a sudden, the other, you know, business that he had, or the other item to buy, didn't show up. And now he's stuck with the cash, and he said, oh my gosh, I discounted it, even though I didn't want to. So he's backpedaling. But the Gemara says, at the time that he sold it, he was mochel. So we don't let him now go back on his word and say, oh, all of a sudden, I didn't mean to do it. Because a safsar is expected to know the market price. If you're expected to know the market price and you sell below, it's automatically mechila. Ravashi amar, mayin tagali ona. Ravashi disagrees and says, what does it mean in tagali ona? Eino b'torat ana. Ona, there is no torat ona by a tagar, shafil pachot michte ona chuzer. It's unbelievable.
Yep.
The other way around, that even if it's less than a sixth, right, he is not mochel. Why is he not mochel? Tani kavasi derav Nachman. Right, there is a price that supports the position of Rav Nachman. Rav Huda Omer, Tagarin Lo'onam, Yipnei Shu Baki. That supports the position of Nachman, that it says that he's an expert in market pricing. Opposed to Rav Ashi, who says that even below a sixth, he will get it back. Why? Why does Rav Ashi say that? So Rav Ashi says, this is unbelievable, Rav Ashi says, Im nitane dechayav tuluim bekach. This is his livelihood. Right? The tikna lo sheyachzor. And therefore the chameim or metakein that he gets it back. This sounds much more like the tzad and the rush, that the profit is actually up to 1/6. Meaning that when we say you get you're entitled to charge up to 1/6, sounds like the profit is embedded, right, in this amount that is the market price, and that, oh no, until you reach the point of oh no, that is his profit. And if you don't give him, right, he's not going to be mochel's profit, then he makes nothing. Like David, what you're asking all the time, he's not making it. That's exactly what Rav Ashi is saying. He's not making anything. From this piece in the Gemara, it sounds much more that the profit margin is the consideration of what Ona is. Below Ona is his profit margin. As opposed to other Gemaras that we've seen, where it seems the other way around. That, what do you mean? He has to give back all the money. How come he can't charge? All these cases, I mean, that doesn't sound like there that it's a profit margin. It sounds like that it's above and beyond the profit margin. Again, here, it sounds a little more like the rush, the time in the rush that says that the profit margin is built into this Ona.
And the whole discussion of the guy over there, it was only going in one direction. If he undercharged,
right?
Is that the same information is only talking about the tagar in that sense? That if he undercharges, he has the recourse. Not if the tagar is overcharged when he buys something.
Although you can't make the claim that, you know, that he knows he needs liquid money, but you could make the claim he thinks he has a great buyer on the other side, so he's willing to pay a little more because he knows he can get the buyer right now. I think that you have to say anybody who's keenly aware of market pricing cannot be.
Doesn't matter whether he's buying or selling.
Right, that you have to assume that
he did it, you know, with his eyes open.
Exactly. That's the same way that when you buy from the balabait, you know you're getting overcharged, right? That type of thing, and that would come back to what you were asking David about the hotel. You go to the lobby of the hotel, and you know they're charging five times the amount for the Coke, right? So you know that when you're buying the Coke, that they're charging you that. So maybe, right? Maybe there's no or not in that case. Maybe. See, maybe we're going to come up in the dot that may not be so simple. All right, Mari Masnisin, who's the author of our Mishnah? Lo Rabbi Natan, v'lo Rabbi Yehuda. Right, because we just had that Macholus Tanaim, which we brought to support the position of Rabbah before. Now, Rabbi Natan and Rabbi Yehuda don't fit into Rabbi Yehuda Nasi don't fit into our Mishnah. Why? E Rabbi Natan Masnisin. If a Rabbi Natan is the author of Mishnah, our Mishnah says Ratza. It says in our Mishnah, if he wants to. Ubraita lo Tani Ratza. The Braita does not say if he wants to. Right, Rabbi Natan lays out what the rules are. He doesn't just give him a choice. There is no ratzah. Even though, in the end, Rabbi Natan learns the word kana for him as being ratzah. Right, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, matnitan ktani, lokeach. Our Mishnah is talking about a buyer. And, Braita, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is talking about a mocher, a seller. I told you at the time that mocher meant both, it was just an example, mocher meant both mocher and buyer. So now you know what the Gemara's answer is going to be. So, Amar Rabbi Lazar, onazu, en yodea mishana. Well, as it says, I don't know this Ona, Mishnah of Ona over here, I don't know who authored it. Rabba Amar, the Ola, I'm Rabbi Natan. Rabba says, no, it's Rabbi Natan. Betani Nami Breisa Ratzah. All right. Tzni Nami Breisa Ratzah. Change it in the Breisa. You want to just say Ratzah in the Breisa, and that'll be fine. Rabba Amar, the Ola, Rabbi Yehuda Nasihi. It's always Rabbi Yehuda Nasihi. You might be sharing my Mesnissim, come and fresh with Breisa. The Mishnah told you about Lokeah. So Braisa takes over where the Mishnah left off. The Mishnah says, okay, after Braisa talks about Mocher. So, Amar Rav Ashi, Deka Nami. Right, he says, makes sense, because the Mishnah actually is misworded. Diktani, Echad Alokeach, Vechad Mocher. Says, both a Mocher and Lokeach are subject to Ona. And then it gives you one example. Mefarish Le Lokeach. And then it explains you an example of a case of a Lokeach. So now, Gemara says, Shmamina Shuri Shayare Le Mocher. It left out the case of Mocher, Shmamina. So that if it's leaving out the case of Mocher, where do we find that case of Mocher? That the header of this Mishnah begins. Echad Lokeach, Vechad Mocher. Right? So then, that comes up in the Braisa, where Rashi explains the case of a Breita. Right. Itmar. Omer lechaveru menachin lecha alai ona. Right. So this might come back to this case. What happens if a person explicitly says, right, you do not have ona? Right. You are now aware. I am overcharging you. And you're aware that you're overcharging you, and you're just not entitled to claim ona against me. So Rav Amar Yesh Lo Alav Ona. Rav says, you can't do this, and you get your money back. Shmuel Amar Yesh Lo Alav Ona. You made a condition, you made a deal. The deal is the deal. You knew, you have all the information, and once you make a deal, you got to hold by your deal. So now, the Gemara is going to say, Lema Rav Rabbi Meir, Shmuel Amar Rabbi Yehuda. What is this exactly like? This is a machlokus we find in other places. The main machlokus that the Gemara is about to quote now is in the Gemara in Kiddushin, which is what's called matne al mashpatut b'torah. Person makes a condition, right, against something that's stipulated or explicit in the Torah. Does a person have permission to do such a thing? Now, when it comes to isur, a person can't do this. There's no question that when it comes to isur, matne mashpatut b'torah is irrelevant because you don't have a right to determine what's not isur or it is isur. Where the machlokes comes up is in monetary manners. How do you view the Torah? When the Torah dictates certain rules with regards to monetary matters, how do you view that? Do you view that the Torah says these are the rules, meaning that it doesn't matter what you think, the Torah is imposing this view on you and you have no right to change it? Or do you view when the Torah lays out monetary rules or monetary law, that is, if there is no other right stipulations between the parties, this is the stam, this is the right, the default status or the governing law will be what the Torah says. But if we want to, between us as parties, we can make any agreement between us about what the right, the law will be. And that we could therefore be open to Torah. So that happens to be Machlokas Remeir Rabbi Yehuda. And Bryce, right, bring Gemara brings Bryce from Kiddushin. Tanya, Omer Lisha, Ariat Mekdeshet Li, Amunat Shein Lecha Alai, Sheer Kesut Volna. Right, I am married to you on the condition that I don't have to pay you Sheer Kesut Volna, which are all entitled, she's entitled to receive from Mina Torah. Now, Ona, right, doesn't matter because Ona is Isur. So that's out of the picture here. What isn't out of the picture is sharing Ksut, which is, right, let's assume this is Mizonot, right, and Ksut. So these two items are monetary matters. This is a monetary obligation of the husband towards the wife. So now the wife is willing to get married and forego that monetary obligation of the husband. Right, so Harizu Miku Dashit, Gupchino Batel, Rabbi Meir. Meir says, too bad. Torah imposes this monetary obligation on you. You do not have a right to stipulate otherwise, even if you two, there's two parties who agree. You don't marry. But the Varsha Ramon to know Kayam. That's exactly what this is. No. When it comes to monetary matters, you have a right to make whatever agreement between you as two parties. So now, what are we suggesting?
There's one guy
who says that's going to be a tonight. Right. Exactly.
And Joe, when it's not a tonight, and he says,
so that's in Machlokas Rishonim. Why is Matnei Hamashik HaTov B'Torah not work? Right. So that's one of the reasons. At least two of the reasons brought by Rishonim happens to be that it's not like Tnai Gadim Ruvain. One of the reasons it's not like Tnai Gadim Ruvain is because the Tnai Gadim Ruvain do not go against the Torah. So just like Tnai Gadim Ruvain don't go against the Torah, so too you can't make a condition that goes against the Torah. That is some of the view of some of Rishonim. I wasn't going to get into it, but just that you mentioned it, that is maybe, right, Rabbi Meir, who thinks that you have to have Tanaygad Ruvain, might be the reasoning behind why he thinks you can't be Matan Mashakot Torah. So now, Rav and Shmuel, you have Rav saying over here, if I make a Tanay, that there is no Ona, it's no problem. Alright, go, I'm sorry, he says there is a problem, you gotta return the Ona. He sounds like Rabbi Meir, who says you cannot be Matan Mashakot Torah. Whatever you say, null and void. On the other hand, Shmuel says, it's good, you can go ahead and make your conditions, just like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Rav holds like Rabbi Meir, and Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So I'm like Rav, Ana Darmei Afilu Rabbi Yehuda. I can even hold like Rabbi Yehuda. I can no come Rabbi Yehuda. Over there, by Kiddushin, Rabbi Yehuda says his statement, El Diyodo Bekamachlo. The case by Kiddushin is that he knows about it. I mean that here, between the man and the woman, the man is explicitly saying it to the woman, and she knows that he's not going to give her sharing suit, and she agrees. So if she is aware of what's going on and she accepts it, that's when Rabbi Yehuda says it works. Aval hacham yada demachil. Over here, how does he know he's getting overcharged? Now the assumption. Exactly. You'll see. We're going to see.
He's not aware of the amount.
It bothers right now. It'll bother you in the Gemara. When the Gemara moves along, you're going to understand why everybody thinks what the Gemara is saying now is true. Which is Rashi doesn't say, "Oh, agree here." What's the issue? The issue is that he says, "Ein alai ona." All he's saying is that you have no claim of ona against me.
He's not saying that I'm overcharged.
Exactly. It's not clear that I'm overcharged.
If you later on feel like I'm overcharged, you.
Exactly. So over here, he's not guaranteeing that he's going to overcharge him. He's just saying, if I do overcharge you, then you don't have a right. Right? You have no rights.
So, small question. Why don't we say that also you did it nail on ona? It's also something just between both of them.
But that's, oh no, ona is divrei isur, so that you can't do because it's hanat gufa. Rashi says it over here. If you look on the other side, he says hanat gufa. It's isur, and you're not allowed to violate isur. That the Gemara says she's not able to be mochel on. She's not able to be mochel on hanat gufa. That she's not permitted to. That she doesn't have a right to do. It's not a monetary matter, so therefore you're not allowed to be mochel. All right. So now, Ushmul Amar Ana Damrei Afilu Rabbi Meir. I can even hold like Rabbi Meir. Why? Over there, it's clear that they're okir davar mina Torah because we know for sure he's not going to pay sharing ksut. That's explicitly what he states. Who says over here that there is going to be a violation of olna? All he said is that you don't have a right. You know, you don't have any claim against me of olna. But that doesn't mean there actually will be any violation. So maybe over here, Rabbi Meir would also agree to me. So Rabbi Shmuel are basically saying that we're not subject to this machlokus of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So Rav Anan, the Didim, Mefarshalei Mini de Mar Shmuel. So Rav Anan says that I have an explanation of Mar Shmuel that it's not so clear what Mar Shmuel means. I mean, Omer Lechavero, Almanat She'en Lecha Alay Ona'a, In Lo Alav Ona'a. Almanat She'en Bo Ona'a, Hare Yish Bo Ona'a. So it depends how you stipulate the condition over here. Now, it happens to be Big Machlokas, Rashi and Tosfot over here, I'd explain this. So now, the first one is, if you say that Almanat She'en Lecha Alay Ona'a, then it works according to Shmuel. Why? Because what you're basically saying is, it's irrelevant what the Din Torah is, because we're not discussing the Din Torah, and we're also not discussing about Ona in this case, about the Chafetz. What we and I, you and I are agreeing to is that you will not sue me. You will not bring me to court. The only agreement that we have is, even though you may be entitled to go get your Ona back, even though there might be Ona here, and in the Torah you can do it, our agreement, our side agreement is that you will not be Tovei on me. That you will not come and make a claim against me. Why can't that we should be able to do? That we can make a deal about. Because in a sense, that's not really even Matna Mashakatu Batorah. The Torah entitles you to get something back. The Torah entitles you to make a claim, but does not demand of you to go make such a claim. So if I make a condition with you, don't go make that claim, then that's fine. You're not, and almost in a sense, you're not even violating, right, these are Torah. On the other hand, if you say,
I'm saying, you're going to commit to me that you're not going to take advantage of the.
Your rights.
The schut that the Torah allows you to have.
Exactly. But if you say, I'm not chain bo ona'a, or yesh bo ona'a. Now Rashi explains, I'm not chain bo ona'a. And I would say that Tosfos reads Rashi this way. I don't think it's necessarily mukhrach in Rashi. But it does sound like that from Rashi, but it's not necessarily mukhrach. Rashi writes, what does that mean, I'm not chain bo ona'a? Rashi claims that that is a statement of fact. That he says that on condition that I am not charging you ona'a. But that in the end, what's the truth? He did charge him ona'a. So the way Rashi reads it is that he's basically promising him he's not going to overcharge him. And then he does overcharge him. So Rashi calls it a mekach taut. And so Tosfos quotes Rashi. He gives one answer that seems to agree with Rashi's shot, and he seems to leave it like the Abalabatish answer, how to explain a steer between this Gemara and a Gemara in Shvi'it. But then he gives a second answer. And the second answer is brought from Rabbeinu Shmuel from the Rashbam. The Rashbam is clearer. If you look up the Gemara, I won't do it over here. The Gemara Makos, the Rashbam is much clearer over there, making a statement. Rabbeinu Shmuel, Mefarish here, the Tosfos here. Amanat Sheinbo Ona Mashma Amanat Shlo Yuchol Isur Delo Tonu. Right, that's how I would have read the Gemara more simply. Which is, in the first case, he says that you're forfeiting your right to make a Toveya. Amanat. But when you say Amanat Sheinbo Ona, you're basically saying the Torah, we are removing the Torah's ability to impose Ona over here. So in that case, right, Akorcha Ucha, that you can't do. Right, Bahashka Abi Mamash to me the Shvit. And then that's why it's similar to Shvit. But basically, you could, in loose terms, deem it as Gavra and Chepetz. Right here, when you make the deal about the Gavra's right to be a Toveya, that you can do, because you could say to the Gavra, parties can come to agreement, we won't sue, I won't bring you to court. There is Ona and Chepetz, of course there's Ona and Chepetz, but you just won't come and claim it from me. On the hand, what we don't entitle you to do is say, there is no such thing as Ona in this Chepetz. This Chepetz doesn't have Ona. That you can't say, because the Torah is telling us, yes, there is Ona and Chepetz. Right, so that would be the way to formulate, again, for the Tosfos, the way the Rashbam learns it, it's an issue of whether you're really going against the Torah or not going against the Torah. According to Rashi, it has to do with your statement. Is your statement a statement of fact, and therefore there's a mekach taot? Or is your statement a statement of, you have no rights here, and therefore you can't come make a claim, even though maybe there is onah in this case? Alright, now, meitavei. Anosein abanotein ba'amana. Someone who transacts ba'amana. Now, what is ba'amana? Actually, I also asked subject to machlok, because Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel. Rashi says, anosein abanotein ba'amana is someone who basically gives you an object on consignment. He says, go ahead, he gives you an object to sell. It's basically a wholesaler giving it to a retailer. He says, sell it for me. And you sell it over time. And when you sell it over time, when you finish selling it, you're going to be back. You'll give me whatever you make on it. Right? In that case, you'll give me whatever you make on it. Now, the other case is, that's the other statement. The second case is that you don't have any ona on me. In both of these cases, there is no such thing as ona. There is no claim of ona in both of these instances. So, if he says, I'm not sharing the phone, nah, that makes sense. And again, by the case of amana, when we say in amana, meaning that he can't make a claim, the way Rashi reads it, is that when you give this item of consignment to the retailer and you trust him to sell it over time, you can't afterwards say to him, you sold it for too little or you sold it for too much. You don't have any claim against him. The fact that you trusted him to sell it, and the fact that you trust him to sell, that means you also trust him to determine what the market price is, and you know claims against him, and when he sells it at market price, whatever he thinks the market price is. Is that what it means? In lo alav ona. Rabbeinu Chanan, on the other hand, explains, Tosis quotes it over here, that ano seven otan mana says that niret ano seven otan b'mana haynu shem ma'amino b'kama kana b'ton lo kach b'yoter ma'at. So that when the person comes, the seller, no seven otan b'mana is that you come to a buyer who bought merchandise, and you say, I want to buy it from you. The buyer says, I purchased it for this amount. So you say, okay, I'm willing to purchase it for you and give you your profit margin on it. So it's basically a cost plus, right, or a markup that he's allowing you. So here he says, the noseb noteb amana is basically, I trust you, right, to tell me what the market price, what the price I paid for it, and I will pay you that profit margin above that. Again, in lo amana, because the whole transaction is premised on the fact that you trust them to give you the selling price, you can't go back later on and say, oh, you bought it for too much, so therefore you overcharged me, the whole thing is ona here. No, because when you tell him that I'm going to buy it off you as a profit above your price, that means that you, whatever his price is, becomes for you the market price. So now, Rashi says, what is the question over here? But when he says, the Rav Damar, Anadam Reafila Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rav says that I can hold even like Rabbi Yehuda, Hamani. See, according to Shmuel, this is easy to explain this, Braisa, because that's exactly what we just saw, is the memory of Shmuel. According to Shmuel, he believes himself, and he has, you can claim there are two Tanaim that believe, that there is a case where you can not have a case of Onah. Even when there is Onah, it won't be Onah. Rav, if he says that Rabbi Yehuda holds like him, that means that Rav has no Tana that says that you can be Matna Moshe Kadu Batorah, or that you can have a case where there is no Onah. Who is the author of this Braisa according to Rav? Because Rav says, Rabbi Meir obviously is not the author. Rabbi Yehuda could have been the author, but Rav says Rabbi Yehuda can even hold like me. If Rabbi Yehuda holds like me, that means neither Rabbi Yehuda, nor Rabbi Meir believes that there's a case of Ein Lo Olam Ona. So Amar Bai Mechavarta Rav Amark Rabbi Meir, Shmuel Amark Rabbi Yehuda. So Bai says, you're right. Let's go back to the original assumption that it's Rav like Rabbi Meir, and Shmuel like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore Rav can claim who's the author of this Braisa is Rabbi Yehuda. Right, Rabba Amar Lo Kasha. Rabbi says, no, we don't have to backpedal here. Kan Pistam, Kan Mefarish. We explained before that when Rav says that I can say even like Rabbi Yehuda, it's because in the case of the Gidushin, she's Yoda B'Mafil, implying that in our case, Mi Yoda B'Mafil. So how does everybody, what do you mean in the case of Mi Yoda B'Mafil? Now you know from this Gemara, from Rav, you understand what it means before. Because here he says, Stam in Mefarish. What is Stam in Mefarish? The Tanya, B'Med, B'Mem Stam. When he just said that, Ein Alaya Olav Ona'ah, in that case, right, then that's the case where we believe there is no case. Abab Mefarish, Mocher, Sh'amar L'Lokeh Chifet Zeh, Sh'ani Mocher L'cha B'Matayim, Yodeh Ani She'enu Shaveh Ela Maneh. I know it's only worth 100, I'm charging you 200. Amanat She'enecha Alaya Ona'ah, Ein Lo Alav Ona'ah. There is no Ona'ah over here. So where you when you say Ein Laya Alav Ona'ah, if he says you don't have a claim of Ona'ah, but you never tell him how much you're overcharging him, you don't tell him whether you are overcharging him, in that case it won't work, according to Rav. But in a case, In the case where you explicitly state the amount of the overcharging and what the market price is for it, in that case, we just saw before that Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it waives your rights. So not necessarily, I don't think you have to say that Rav necessarily agrees with this part of position of Rabbi Yehuda, but the way Rav explained Rabbi Yehuda before, he said that Rabbi Yehuda agrees in cases where it's known the there's a quantified amount of what is being removed, that Rabbi Yehuda agrees can be matna Moshe Kotov b'Torah. So we saw that by Kiddushin, and now by Ono, we've created a case where there is a quantified amount of what you're losing. He's saying, I'm giving you something worth 100 for 200. You know exactly what you're getting overcharged. Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, that's fine, you can do such a thing. If you're not mefaresh, if you're not explicate or define what you are overcharging, or tell them that you're even overcharging, then you can't make a condition that there's no Ono. Why? It's all premised on Mechila. The whole reason that Ono works over here is Mechila. Unless you know, and again, Matna Moshe Kotov b'Torah is all about Mechila. You can only be Mocha about something you know. If you don't know, you can't be Mocha. וכן לוקח, שמחה אמר למוכר, חייבת שאני לוקח ממך במנה, אני יודע, אני שבו ששווה 200. I'm buying from you for 100, it's worth 200, I can do. אמרה שאין לך עליי עונה, אין לו עליו עונה. So again, coming back to the dummy your case in the hotel. So again, in the hotel, right, they are telling you that they are charging 5 shekel on a no market price of 1 shekel, whatever it is. They're charging you 5 times the price. But they don't, there is no sign there, there is no statement over there, אין לי עליו עונה. Right, that part of the condition here of saying it that is that you have to tell the person, and therefore there is mechila. And what you might say is, by the case of the hotel,
as soon as you walk in, you know.
Right, that it's not stam anymore. It's not a case where you're saying, you know, no, and you don't know about it. Here it's clear. All the information is posted, and you know what the market price is versus what someone pays over here. So therefore, when you make a decision to buy it, you are implicitly being mochel on this overcharging because of that.
And then everybody would agree that.
Right, because that implicit mechila, where you, if you have all the information, again, part of what makes it mechila over here is that you're given all the information. So maybe in the cases of the hotels where they're overcharging you, you are given all the information, which would then make it questionable in cases where someone does not know what the market price is, or does not understand that there is such a difference, that maybe there isn't mechila in that case. Right, Tana Banan, Hanosev Noten Bamana. Right, someone who is Nosev Noten Bamana, or is it like Hashem et Ara Bamana et Tayafet? B'shavet. So again, Machlokes is Rashi tells us to explain what the case is here. Elo ozeh b'zeh b'amana, ozeh b'zeh b'shavet. Rashi explains the case that I gave you on consignment two objects. One object I know will sell right away. The other object I know will take you time to sell. So now I have one object I handed to you, it's liquidated right away. I have another object, it's going to take, say, 6 months to liquidate. I say to you, listen, you take both objects now, sell them. Give me the money back in 6 months. After you sold the second item, according to Rashi, give me back the money for both the one that you liquidated right away and for the one that you sell later on. But I will not pay you anything for this. So now what do you have? Yeah, basically a case where there is a loan. Why is there a loan? Because you were able to liquidate the item right away and you should have given that money back to the person who gave it to you on consignment, the seller. The fact that you don't give it means he's basically lending you money for 6 months. So now, what has he done? He says, I've lent you money for 6 months, and therefore for the other 6 months, the other item where I'm paying for, you're working for it to sell it, and he doesn't sell right away, now I'm not going to pay you your fees that you should get for that item. So now what do I have? Basically, I should have paid you some money, I'm not paying you. So I'm basically saying, you're paying me interest for the money that I'm letting you borrow. I owe you money, but I'm not going to give you that money because you kept my money for the 6 months. So basically, the fact that I owe you money, and I say, I'm not going to pay it to you, says, you owe me interest. Interest because you are really entitled.
But he's mochel on the interest.
What do you mean mochel on the interest?
Because he says, no, pay me back only in 6 months.
No, the interest is from the other side, from the lokeach side, from the person who's selling it, the mocher side. The mocher is entitled to a commission for selling it over 6 months. If it doesn't get paid, he says, you won't get a commission. So now, when the Zekeach does not get a commission over here, he basically says, listen, you borrowed from me 100 shekel, you got right away. The other thing I took you 6 months to borrow. You borrowed 100 shekel from me. You owe me money to pay for that 100 shekel. So, you owe me money. I owe you money also. Canceled. That means basically he's charging him interest on the money that's waiting. So that's what Rashi says the case is over here. That there is a implicit interest being charged on a, almost also an implicit loan. There's a loan that happens because of the circumstance, and now it looks like Mexico, it's like Ribi, it's being charged on the loan. So Rashi says, either, therefore, oh, el zeb zeb b'mana, o zeb zeb b'shabet. Either both of them are that you get the money back and that's it, and nothing, or both of them are that you get charged your normal commission and that's it. You can't have one of them be liquidated right away, and then one of them liquidated later, and then all of a sudden you don't pay him for his services. So either you pay him for both for his services, or you pay him for neither for his services, right? That's got to be the way. Tosfos on the other hand learns, no. That what happens if a person gives you merchandise to sell, and the merchandise has, say, for instance, 10. It gives you 10 of whatever merchandise it is. 5 of them are worth 1.5 times, and 5 of them are worth half the amount. So between them, the average price, say, is 1 shekel. But that's not always the case. 5 of them are really only worth half a shekel, and the other 5 are worth 1.5. Right, so lo yachshiv lo arad dinar dinar. Don't go and pick the one that's worth the half a shekel for a dinar. Just like you sold the 1.5 and then you got 1.5, don't say when you sell the half that you have to pay him a shekel. No. It has to be that it's always equal. Everything's got to be equal. Either you charge him a shekel for everything, which is that 1 dinar for everything, whether it's above or below, or you give him the market price of each item. When he sells 1.5, you get 1.5 back. If you sell half, you get a half back. Right now. But no day low. Here comes profit margin. You want to know what you get for profit margin. If you are a person who sells on consignment, you took the merchandise and said, I'm going to sell for him. What are you entitled to? No day low skarkatif. You have to take up the moving costs, right? Transportation costs. Skar gamal. Right? If he can't carry it and he needs to hire a gamal, you have to give him the transportation. If to rent something out to move it, he has to give him that. Skar pundak. If he has to go sleep over, he has a hotel cost expenses. Skar atzmo eno hotel. In all these instances, he gets his expenses reimbursed, but he does not take personal profit over here. Svaranatano, skaro, mishulam. He already got the full amount of his payment. It says, skaro, mishulam, mehikukoyovle. All we said so far is he's getting reimbursed for expenses. Where's his profit? I don't see any profit margin. Amrapapa, bitstruye. Alright, bitstruye is the same as the tsraidaita, the tsraidaita we had before, that Rabbi talked about before, which is that these are people sellers. When balabatim sellers, they sell things, the abalameya, they discount the price up front. When they sell items on consignment, they take a 4% discount up front. When they sell it to you, they say, listen, it's worth 100 shekel, I'm going to give it to you for 96, and you sell it for 100, you only have to give me back 96. So the profit margin is built into the discount that he gives them up front. That 4% discount is his profit margin above and beyond his expenses. So therefore, when he gives him the expenses back in the end, he does not have to pay him a profit above that because he got his profit and the discount he got for it up front. From the conclusion of the Gemara over here, it seems that when we talk about Ono is above and beyond the profit margin that is embedded in the merchandise. Because here you see that there's an embedded profit margin. And then when we talk Ono, we're only talking about a market price that is above and beyond the profit built in. As opposed to what we saw by Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi earlier on sounded the other way. Sounding like that the Ona itself, up to the sixth, is what is the profit margin. That Ona includes the profit margin. And that why we allow you up to a sixth is exactly that, to create the profit margin that you have. Because there, Rav Ashi says, Kedei Chayav, that we have, there is no Mechila in less than a sixth for a Mocher, because or a Tagar, because that is his livelihood. That's exactly how he makes his profit margin. Again, so you see the two tzadim showing up in the Gemara, that sometimes it seems that the profit margin is built in and the Ona is only for that which is above and beyond the market price, including with the embedded profit margin. Now, at other times it seems that Ona, the 1/6, is exactly what the profit margin is. That's why you're entitled to take Ona up to a 6, because that is your profit margin. Right. Well, we'll stop over here.